and Bruff.
Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on the NHL?
But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king.
What? Record levels almost of house positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
You know, maybe the Canucks could have got it done if they'd come really hot, really fast.
As the Canucks come back the other way, chance for a 3-on-1. Hoglander down the left wing, pass in front, going to the net. They score! Brock Besser! Just 34 seconds into the game, Brock Besser gives the Canucks a 1-0 lead, driving hard to the net.
Drans has just got some Vaseline there. He's like, this is awesome, right?
And behave.
Yeah. Yeah, baby! Yeah.
No mean feat, my goodness.
As then McDavid forces a turnover to Draisaitl. He scores through the middle. JT Miller handed it right to Connor McDavid deep in his own zone.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry.
Our Horvat, Edler, and Myers as Draisaitl gets a one-timer right circle and scores set up by McDavid.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far.
The Oilers setting up in the Vancouver zone. Darnell Nurse leaves near point. Evan Bouchard into the slot. Fake the shot. Shoots now and scores.
I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about.
To Miller. At the near point, spins off a check play to Nolik, backhand pass through the middle, turned it over. Here's Josh Archibald up the right wing. 2-on-1, he's waiting for Nurse to catch up. Archibald in front for Nurse, he shoots and scores.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Here are your hosts, Mike Alford and Jason Bruff.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:02, almost 6:03 on a Wednesday. It is Halford. It is Bruff. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Great to hear. Good stuff. Well done. Midweek, folks. It's hump day. We're almost on the back half of this week. Thank
more,
God for that.
How many more games do the Canucks have this week?
Nine. Well, count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine.
I just said this week.
Yeah, nine.
Nine. They have nine this games week. This week. They are playing nine more times.
Couple doubleheaders.
Yeah, they're going to play a triple header on Wednesday. The games will be 20 minutes in length.
They play Thursday and Saturday against Edmonton, correct?
This is correct.
This is correct.
And then nine games overall this season, including those three games at the end against Calgary, which will be amazing.
Can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait for those.
I think they're probably going to be eliminated by then, folks. I don't know. I don't want to be a house of negativity guy, but I got a feeling they might be wiped out real quick before we do anything. Some good news. Some house of positivity. If you own your home, yes, you, driving in your car or maybe listening in your owned home at 6:04 in the morning, Alpine Credits can get your loan approved. Why? How? What? Alpine Credits homeowners get approved. That's all you need to know. For more, if you need to know more, visit alpinecredits.ca. A lot of stuff happened yesterday. The game itself, another loss for the Vancouver Canucks. Six in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Going for 15.
We keep hoping. What was that?
Sad voice crack.
Oh, my God.
Can we hear that again?
I want that again.
We keep hoping.
Where is that from?
The post-game show.
Please, one more.
Keep hoping.
He went through puberty in that two-second clip. That's amazing.
His beard fell off.
That's right. Oh! Canucks lose 4-1. That happened. Abbotsford. Big, big, big day for the city of Abbotsford. Congratulations, Abbotsford. Soon, though not official just yet.
They can't hear you.
Right. One, can you hear us in Abbotsford? I heard it's a problem. Anything over the bridge, anything over any bridge, I heard it's a problem. But if you are hearing us, one, congratulations. Two, double congratulations. You are now soon to be the not new home, because they had one before, but a return home of the American Hockey League. But this time, the Vancouver Canucks farm team.
This time it won't be the Calgary Flames farm team, which was never a good idea.
Tough look altogether. So we have some questions about this. Mm-hmm. We'll get to it a little bit later in the show. But we may as well throw it out now, right? There could be some listeners right now that want to weigh in on this. Like, is this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Is having the Canucks farm team, AHL franchise in Abbotsford, I will say the slam dunk that I think a lot of people envision it to be, right? It's like, it's not Calgary's anymore. It's a perfect fit. You've got all the guys that are down in the minors within an hour and a half drive, depending on traffic.
Define working. Like, what is it? What would be working versus not working?
Working would be moderately full building.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't lose
money or doesn't lose a ton of money.
Right. And, you know, actually has a real connection to the community, because mm-hmm. I think a big problem with the Heat of years past was that everyone kind of looked at the team as almost an enemy.
Yeah.
Because
wait a minute. I hate the Flames.
Right. I mean, that's going to be the big thing at the end of the day. Now, there's a lot of different things to consider when you're talking about this. One, I don't know, like, everyone kind of thinks of Abbotsford in incorrect terms, to be quite honest, of the drive out to Abbotsford. Because the reality is the people live in the Fraser Valley. That's not a massive drive out to Abbotsford. It's where they live, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's almost making, as you know, it mapped out. You've got the Vancouver Canucks playing in downtown Vancouver proper, mm-hmm. and then you've got their American League franchise playing in the Fraser Valley. The interesting thing, I think, for me is to see the fruits of the benefit from a hockey operations standpoint. Because for too long, it's been a logistical nightmare just to call a player up from Utica, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The other part of this, and this is something that you and I talked about quite often, is from an American League perspective, Abbotsford isn't ideal for anybody, especially when it comes to travel. Because most of the travel in the...
It's more ideal now than it was before that division...
The Sons of Anarchy.
The Sons
division.
Of Anarchy division, right?
So it's mostly teams in California, Arizona, and Nevada.
And those will be the teams that Abbotsford plays the most.
But they all travel among one another via bus, mm-hmm. because it's only a couple hours.
But they
hours.
Might send them down there for a long road trip,
well,
and
yeah.
then they, you know, you get a bus and you cruise around the Sons of Anarchy division for a little bit,
right.
and then
maybe
hopefully
they'll get motorcycles.
You have a home stand.
Maybe motorcycles.
That'd be cool.
So who's to say?
The one thing that I do wonder about, if there are any negatives to the situation, is practice time. Because that was always the advantage of playing in Utica.
Correct.
Because their travel times were reduced, they could practice a lot. So we'll see if that has any effect.
That's a good point to bring up.
No, it is. Because you know the whole idea, like, you're developing players. So one of the things that you know helps in your development is practice time. I know when the Calgary's farm team was there, it was actually efficient for them in terms of calling up players, because you have an airport in Abbotsford, so you can fly directly
yep.
to Calgary there. So that was easy. The travel was not, because I don't believe there was the Sons of Anarchy division at that point. So it was like, here's the American League over here, mm-hmm. and then here's Abbotsford. Over
right.
here on like the, you know, the furthest tip of North America or one of them, right? So things have changed a little bit since then as far as the league is concerned and the geography of the league is concerned. But I still think travel could be an issue for this team, especially for a team that's not going to travel in the same style as the NHL teams do.
Wow, right on cue, someone texts in. Do you guys remember the West Division that the Abbotsford Heat had to play in 2014, 7 years ago? I did not. Thank you to Gary, who texted this in. Abbotsford, Texas, San Antonio, Charlotte, and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So the travel now is significantly less. Another question for you listeners, and a reminder, text into the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. It definitely seems as though they can hear us in Abbotsford, because mm-hmm. the texts are blowing up. As they say.
Now, someone texts, if it doesn't work in Abbotsford, it's not going to work anywhere. I don't necessarily agree with that. Here's the thing. For the Comets, it worked in Utica. Like it worked extremely well in Utica.
Yep.
The only problem was the distance.
Mm-hmm.
So, theoretically, you could... Like, let's say you don't bring it home to Abbotsford or, you know, to... Canuck Nation, right?
Okay.
Like, so we'll call all of BC, you know, Canuck Nation. Is there a Utica closer to Vancouver? Like
right.
a same sort of, and I think the Canucks were exploring that.
Yeah, I'd heard Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Because that would be a nice sort of equidistant point between Vancouver mm-hmm. and then the Sons of Anarchy division. Anywhere on the West Coast, really, right? I mean, didn't Seattle's got their... minor league affiliate in Palm Springs.
They're building an arena.
Yeah.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. putting it
that to me would be the place to go. Especially if you've got an older players in your minor league system.
Louis wants to get traded to Seattle, so they send him down to Palm Springs. They're like, actually, I would love to go to the AHL now.
He's like, sign me up. I'm already at the spa.
$6 million just to play in Palm Springs.
Yeah. Another question before
dinner at 4:30 every day.
That's
for
right.
Louis.
The blue plate special. We're having pork chops again. All right. Another question to answer. What is the team going to be named?
I know.
Jeff, you know.
I know.
Okay, I got to put it out there. Jeff Patterson confirmed with the club yesterday. By the way, Jeff Pat's going to be on the program today. We'll get into that in a sec. Jeff Pat confirmed through the Canucks that they will not carry over the Comets nickname and instead go with something new.
Oh,
so, Dom.
We got an opportunity for some texts from the listeners into the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. Mm-hmm. Come up with names for Abbotsford's
Dom's
AHL team. Please do not make them too serious.
Yes.
I have inside sources from the cornfields of Abbotsford.
Yes.
And from what I'm told, this new AHL club will be called The Farm.
The singular.
The Abbotsford Farm.
I'm interested. Singular.
The Abbotsford Farm?
Yeah.
What a great name.
That
and
sounds like
logo,
a prison.
The logo will be, well, it is Abbotsford. They do have one out there.
Ooh.
Isn't there a prison that's named The Farm?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with prison
slang. Yeah, exactly.
Slang.
You don't like watching prison shows on like A&E and that sort of thing?
This is taking a turn.
Okay. Anyway,
keep going.
Keep going.
Keep it on the rails.
So the AHL club will be named the Abbotsford Farm.
Yep.
Another one of those singular team names.
The Wild.
Yeah.
Yep.
Heat that was there beforehand. You got to carry on the tradition.
I like where you're going with this.
And the Abbotsford Center, which is a nice little barn, will be affectionately named The Barn for The Farm.
I don't know what the logo is going to look like.
It's going to be a tractor. A mean-looking tractor.
I do like the idea of honoring Abbotsford's rich agricultural history.
Sure.
By referring to them as The Farm. And where do you get your players from?
The Farm.
Where are you calling them up from?
The Farm.
See? Early clubhouse leader. The Farm. I like it. Okay, anyway.
The Farm. Angola, USA is a 1998 award-winning documentary set in the notorious and largest American maximum security prison, Louisiana State Penitentiary.
Doesn't matter!
In Angola.
Yeah.
I just learned something today. I had no idea that such a place existed, but kudos to you for having the recall to remember, what is it, the largest supermax prison in the U.S.?
Something like that.
That's impressive.
I don't have the recall to recall what I read 5 seconds ago.
Do they develop hockey players here in this prison?
No, I don't think so. No. I doubt it. Call me crazy.
Tom,
okay.
Tom Wilson was developed there.
That's
I'm sure
true,
he
actually.
That.
That's right. He cut his teeth there. Okay, what's coming up on the program today? 6:30, Chris Johnson's going to join us. We can talk about what are the next steps to make this official, the Canucks moving their AHL affiliate to Abbotsford, because it's not official quite yet. We'll also talk to Siege about the news of the day. The story of the day on Tuesday in the NHL. Two words. Jason already said them. Tom and Wilson. Dominated news coverage across Canada and the United States. Yeah. Wyshynski pointed out that it was like the number one click story on ESPN.com as they make their foray into the NHL. It was on TMZ. It went everywhere. This story is huge. And the Rangers only added to it by putting out their statement, essentially calling for the head of George Parros.
It reminded me of working at NBC when something like this would happen. It was the only time we would get a call from the national desk to write something special for the front page. It was like, it's never like a big game or even goal scoring. It's something violent has happened.
Yep. Violent or criminal. One of the two. It was always that way. But that's, honestly, unfortunately, that's how the NHL right now gets its coverage, mainstream coverage, in America. It's through controversy. So Chris Johnson will join us at 6:30 to break it out. Like, what comes next for George Parros? What comes next for the Rangers? The Rangers and the Capitals play tonight. What happens there? There's a lot of things at stake here.
Can Chris, we talk about the Rangers statement?
Yeah, we will, definitely. That was, like, just,
God.
You know, okay, you know what? Jeff Pat, 7:30, Wyshynski, 8. That's the rundown. The Rangers' statement, before we get into what happened, I do want to address it right now because that was, on the one hand, pretty overdramatic, Right? Calling it like a horrifying act of violence, like it was a Viggo Mortensen movie or something like that.
They called the Abbotsford team that. The Abbotsford horrifying acts of violence.
It was.
That's a little too on the nose.
But it was over the top. At the same time, you brought up a good point in the notes saying it's also a horrible look for the NHL when one of your prestige franchises, an original six franchise, throws down the gauntlet like this. Like, all due respect, this isn't the Carolina Hurricanes saying this. Like, when the New York Rangers say this, it carries extra clout, right? If you'll recall, the Rangers almost went to the mattress with the NHL a long time ago when they owned and operated their own website, and the NHL was trying to streamline everyone to having, like, the same mirrored websites.
Right, but they had a popular website.
And they fought tooth and nail against the NHL to keep it. So they've always kind of had an adversarial relationship. And this, like, they didn't even try and dip their toes in the water
First of all, challenging them. They called what Wilson did a horrifying act of violence. Okay. And then they said it was a dereliction of duty by NHL head of player safety, George Parros. And then they said that we believe he is unfit to continue in his current role. So they called for his job.
That was the kicker.
They had to crack open the thesaurus on that one, right? Like, who just goes to dereliction of duty off the top of their head?
It's pretty impressive.
People who know the language. I mean, dereliction of duty, is that?
I'm pretty sure a lot of us had to look that up.
Isn't that from Zoolander? Derelicte?
Maybe.
I think it was. I'll have to double check.
Okay. So, at any rate, who have we got on the show today to discuss all these issues?
Once again, Greg Wyshynski at 8 o'clock, Jeff Patterson at 7:30. I suppose we should talk about what happened in the Canucks game last night.
We don't have to.
Some people have accused the Canucks of using the Abbotsford thing as a big shiny bauble to distract us.
Look over here. It's Abbotsford.
And we did. We spent like 20 minutes talking about it this morning. I'm jacked. I can't help it. I think it's great.
I don't think they did that,
by the way. No, I don't either.
They had to announce it at some point because the Board of Governors meeting is coming up.
Correct. And there's a deadline to get all these things into the American Hockey League. So again, Wyshynski, 8 o'clock, Jeff Patterson, 7:30, Chris Johnson, 6:30. We will now tell you what happened yesterday. Dom, play the music.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No.
What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
You missed that?
What happened?
On the ice, as they say in the CFL, no bueno. Canucks lose for their sixth in a row to the Edmonton Oilers. That's two in a row against the Edmonton Oilers, for those of you keeping track at home. Connor McDavid, a ho-hum performance. Only two assists, but the Oilers gained a little bit of ground in the Scotia North Division with a 4-1 win over the Canucks at Rogers Arena on Tuesday. McDavid, as you may well know, now leads the NHL with 93 points in 51 games. He has five left to get to 100.
How many assists did JT Miller have for the Oilers?
That's tough to say. I want to put it at three. Mm. It was at least two.
Yeah.
I know that. Leon Draisaitl scored twice. Neither of them assisted by JT Miller. Brock Besser scored for the Canucks. Thatcher Demko made 23 saves in the loss. The Canucks have lost six in a row. My two major takeaways from last night. One, angry JT Miller. Two.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
That was JT Miller after that second turnover yesterday.
Where is that actually from?
Kicking
is it from that soccer movie that Will Ferrell did?
That soccer movie.
I never saw it.
He calls himself a cinephile.
Yeah. Did that win the best picture? I can't remember.
It was in the running.
Yeah.
It was in the running.
Right.
It was.
They showed that at Cannes, did they not?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were trying to come up with a JT Miller drop, especially after last night, because how many do you have at the ready? Am I throwing you on
just
the spot?
Just that
here?
One for now.
No, but the other players.
A lot of them had.
The other players and their drops. Do we have those?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Do we have Brock Besser's?
Brock Besser!
And an appropriate one. I think Besser's been a very solid, consistent sniper for the Canucks this year. It's nice to see him get back to his sniping ways.
And then we have two for Bo.
Okay.
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Right? That's one.
Yep.
And then the other one is...
We have a bull.
Both very appropriate.
Which I never understood.
He's a captain and a bull.
Okay.
So we've never... And then there's a bunch of other ones as well. But we've never had a proper JT Miller drop.
And now we do.
Right. It's anything Will Ferrell getting angry. It's like we didn't have a supercut of Will Ferrell screaming things. I like the one from Kicking and Screaming, though.
Yeah.
Because that, to me...
I'm angry!
You know what would be fun? If JT Miller actually sounded like Will Ferrell on the ice.
It's like, dang it! I'm so frustrated right now.
I'm like a tornado of anger.
Absolutely nothing is going my way.
I'm spitting angry.
That is perfect. It was tough. It was tough. Now, kudos to Travis Green, who acknowledged the spinning tornado that is JT Miller in his post-game remarks, but stood up for the tea kettle of anger, saying, you know what? I'm not going to throw him under the bus. What's more, I'm not going to bench him. I'm going to go to bat for JT Miller any day. Here's the head coach on a frustrated JT Miller.
Would I like to see those turnovers not happen that he made tonight? For sure. I also know I got a player in the room that's not very happy about himself either. And he's down and he's ultra competitive. The smart hockey player. He knows when he makes mistakes. He's also a big engine on our team. I could bench him, I guess. But I also want to win the game too.
I could bench him, but frankly, I'm scared of him.
Yeah, I could bench him, I guess. It's like you just thought of it on the spot there. It's like, oh, could do that.
No, he's not going to bench him. JT Miller's still one of the best Canuck players out there.
That's not really the story, right?
No.
The story is, and I think this is goes back to our bigger picture conversation about how lousy the year has been and how guys just want to flush it. I have not seen, in recent memory anyway, a more frustrated hockey player outwardly for this length of time,
I've never seen it. Like, I'm not sitting here going, "He's got to cut that out. It's terrible."
Really
blah blah blah. But I haven't seen it in the NHL
because I don't want to be one of those guys that's like, "You got to be a professional." And maybe Donnie. Remember when Markstrom smashed his stick over the net, and Donnie's like, "Kids could be watching. That lumber is expensive, more so than ever." I never cared about any of that. Like, you know what? If as long as you're not doing anything, I suppose, illegal, that you're actually either...
Yeah.
And you can't say hurting the team, because Miller is hurting the team right now, no question. But at the same time, he's also trying to make things happen on a team that stinks.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, do I love it? No, because I think it shows a bit of a lack of composure. But it also shows passion, that
right.
He wants to win.
That doesn't bother me so much.
Right.
My bigger question with all of it would be, is this a guy that's just a bit of a snap show and is frustrated? Or is this a guy that's on tilt?
Mm-hmm.
And what comes next,
but
right?
Maybe he's always done this, but we haven't heard it as much because there's been fans there.
Well, to be fair,
I don't know.
Well, but also, when's the last time JT Miller's played on a team this bad? It's been an awfully long time.
Mm-hmm.
None of the teams in New York, I don't think, hit these depths. And
right. Quite
frankly, when's the last time JT Miller had to go through two quarantines in a pandemic? The answer is never, right? So we're dealing with...
Actually, I think his first season in the league,
right.
He did.
So
is
he has...
JT Miller the only player in the NHL that did the quarantine twice this year?
I'm sure others have, right?
It's a small list, though.
Yeah. Again, it's...
It sucks.
Even if someone else has done it, this is still the first time for everybody. And I don't, again, I'm totally fine with saying, you know, it's a guy that wants to win and doesn't like losing. You know, some people will probably clap back with, well, you realize the majority of the times that he's getting frustrated is with his own mistakes when he's really pushing the envelope. And then I would clap back with, look, right now, I would not take too much of this into consideration. The only thing...
He does give the puck away a lot, though, doesn't he?
He has this year. Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that this team is not as good as last year. This team is not having the success that he had last year. And quite frankly, he's probably been left on an island on his own more so than last year, where he was riding shotgun with Pettersson. Yeah.
Maybe it has to do with the position he's playing, too. Right. When you play center, you're the puck distributor. So you're looking to make passes. But I feel like he was doing this even before Pettersson got hurt.
Yeah, he was, without question. At the same time, as I go back and forth here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, well, there's this, but then there's that. He does have the skill set and the skating ability and, quite frankly, just the strength and power to do the jump on my back, I'm going to make something happen.
Sure.
It was against Montreal, I think, when they had blown a 5-4 lead late, and it looked like the game might be lost entirely. He pulled one off. And he does have the capabilities to do it. But at the same time, I think the most interesting part is that it's just so noticeable.
Yes.
Like, you don't see it really ever, right? You see guys snap show.
And
on
it
occasion.
Is more noticeable because they're playing in an empty arena. You can really
yeah, for sure.
hear it.
Yep, totally.
Your eyes are drawn to it because I don't know about you, but oftentimes when there's a goal in a game, my eyes sometimes draw to the crowd. I'm like, I want to see what the crowd reaction is.
For sure.
Right? Especially if it's the home team. You know, are they really going to celebrate it? Whatever. And the camera does the same thing, right? You know what the camera does. You know the whole routine
yep.
when there's a goal scored in the NHL during normal time. The goal is scored, pan to the player, celebrate, quick celebration, pan to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
See, a bit like, oh, that guy's clapping. He seems happy. And then you pan to the coach on the other team
yep.
that gave to see how angry he looks. Like, there is a routine to that. Now, in some ways, the camera, if you're producing
yeah.
the Canucks game, right, you're like, get the JT Miller shot.
That's right.
You know?
Just keep the camera focused.
Get it
on
JT Miller. He's going to do something.
Chris Johnson's coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We'll get all into the biggest talking point in the NHL right now, which is, of course, Tom Wilson. Before we do that, I must remind you that if you are looking for work, if you're on your way to work right now and you're like, I'd like to try something else for work, I have a solution for you. AE Concrete Products in Surrey. They are now hiring general laborers. Training is provided. So if that interests you, email now. Send your resume to jobs@aeconcrete.com. Chris Johnson, Siege, our NHL insider, next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. On a Wednesday, Halford, Brough, Black Sheep, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. Do you own your home? You out there in listener land, are you a homeowner? Do you own your home? If so, Alpine Credits can get your loan approved. It's that simple. Alpine Credits homeowners get approved. I know I just said that, but it's so remarkable that the scriptwriter is going to say it in the exact next sentence. Alpine Credits homeowners get approved. Visit alpinecredits.ca for more. The big talking news of the day yesterday that didn't involve relocation of an American League franchise to Abbotsford was, of course, Tom Wilson. Joining us now to break all of it down, our good friend, NHL insider from Sportsnet, Chris Johnson, here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Siege? How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. What's going on?
Not much. We're sifting through the wreckage of this Tom Wilson situation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Canucks.
Also them.
Could have gone either way there.
Yeah. Take your pick. There's so much wreckage. So much wreckage. No, I want to start with the Wilson stuff because there's now about five or six different angles from this. I wanted to know from you, Chris Johnson, NHL insider, what the reaction has been either from across the league or within the league, to the Rangers issuing this very strongly worded statement in which they essentially called for George Parros' job.
Yeah, I mean, it's multi sort of faceted, as you're mentioning here. You know, I think from the league side of things, they would understand that obviously any ruling they make, that usually one team or another is not going to be happy with the outcome of what they've decided. So, I don't think that they mind a team being disappointed, but calling out George Parros specifically, you know, I think is seen as a little bit of a shot across the bow. Now, look, in talking to people who work for other teams, though, I think that there's some feeling league-wide on the team end of things that something like this maybe is a little bit overdue, that there's, you know, a certain level of dissatisfaction, you know, with the way that NHL player safety has gone about things. And I think this is where it gets murky. There's just never going to be a way to keep everyone happy, which I don't put out there as a defense of this decision, because personally, I thought this was a no-brainer suspension. But you know, this is pretty muddy now. I think the league will probably keep things quiet. Obviously, the Rangers are going to get some kind of fine for this, but you know, I'm not sure that publicly we'll ever know the amount of that or exactly what goes into it. And you know, I guess everyone will move on, you know, pending what happens tonight, because the schedule maker has gifted us another Rangers-Capitals game to watch in the wake of all this.
Siege, what would your reasons have been specifically? Like, I know what Tom Wilson did, but what would your reasons have been if you were in charge of suspensions and you were to suspend Tom Wilson?
Well, I think it was kind of a no-brainer from where I sit, because to me, it's not really a hockey play in any way. You know what I mean? When someone delivers a hit in the course of a game that's kind of on the line, you know, in some ways, like the Brandon Carlo hit that Tom Wilson himself threw in March and earned himself a 7-game suspension. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that sometimes that's a little bit more of a gray area, because he's doing something that is allowed in the game, and you're measuring by degrees, you know, how far over the line it is. Whereas, you know, pulling someone down by their hair who's not wearing a helmet and sort of dangerously wrestling with the ground, you know, as much as, yeah, I get that there's scrums in the game and obviously players do sort of wrestle and there are takedowns. I mean, you see that action and happen in other instances. It's hard to deny that there wasn't a real danger in that specific move. And I think, given Tom Wilson's history and you know, that I feel like it would have been an easy time to penalize him.
No.
I'm not in line here saying he had to be suspended this season the way some people felt that he should have. Mm-hmm. But I think at minimum, a couple game suspension, maybe the rest of the regular season, what have you, you know, at least would satisfy. It would take him out of the game that's going to be played today. And it would, you know, also add another, you know, blight to his record, and I think would send some kind of message. And you know, by only finding him, I kind of worry about the repercussions of that down the line.
Well, I went down the line. I wonder what's going to happen tonight. Rangers and Capitals.
Well, the Rangers don't have many guys that can do much about it.
Hold on, I'll jump in.
As a team, you can take out anyone.
Well,
you know?
the Rangers don't have the guys to take out go after Tom
sticks.
Wilson, but they have the guys to go after. Like that's what I think the NHL's kind of worked itself into here, is all of a sudden it's like, well, if we can't get even with Tom Wilson, maybe we do it with Nicholas Backstrom or somebody else. I would have thrown out Kuznetsov, but he's in COVID-19 protocol. That's just the can of worms that I feel is open now.
Right, and it does mirror a little bit of what went on years and years ago with the Canucks and Colorado, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you kind of get into eye for an eye justice this way, and, you know, there's no scenario that's good for anyone who likes hockey, honestly. Like, I understand people like certain, there's a range of opinions on old-time hockey and physical hockey and defending yourself. Like, I get that, but if we start having these conversations, I think that the league's got to an uncomfortable position, and you know, I really hope nothing happens tonight that goes too wild or anything like that. But it's now more of a possibility, I think, because the league didn't step in this case and go after Tom Wilson. And I think there's a larger Tom Wilson question, right? I mean,
well, yeah.
How do you rehabilitate him? How do you truly get through to him? Is it throwing a 30-game suspension at him at some point and you know, costing him millions of dollars? Is there some other manner to do it? Because, you know, what's interesting in his specific instance is, you know, a couple of years ago, George Parros twice went and had face-to-face meetings with him and showed him video and tried, you know, I think they've tried in some maybe, you know, non-punitive ways to get through to him. And I just don't see it. I mean, he was recklessly out of control in that moment. And, you know, obviously, you know, I don't think we have to really even debate his merits as a hockey player anymore. He's plays with their top players. He's been relatively productive in those roles, but, you know, it feels like he's someone at any moment that could kind of go off and do something he shouldn't do. And, you know, you got to find a way, I guess, to curb that before it happens, I think.
I mean, that's the fascinating part to me, and maybe the most troubling part, is that I don't really understand why the NHL took a different tact with Wilson than they did with Matt Cook, who they essentially drummed out of the game with a series of suspensions, and Rafi Torres. They just kept upping the ante every time those guys did something predatory.
But weren't they all hits?
Yeah, but this is, it seems crazy to me. This is like, you know, someone that gets arrested 3 times for shoplifting, and then the 4th time they get arrested for counterfeiting money or forging fake checks, and that's supposed to be like, oh, well, you know, they're not shoplifting anymore, so we should look at this in an entirely different light. Like, Wilson,
counterfeiting money happens every night.
Put it this way. Yeah, right after a scrum in front of the net. Put it this way. If it was John Carlson that kind of wrestled Panarin to the ground and nearly spiked his head into the ice, we're not having this same level of conversation. Like, a lot of this, and I think some people are in the league offices are almost willfully ignoring this, a lot of this is a Tom Wilson thing, not necessarily a scrum after running into the goalie thing.
Right, but I mean, this is a player that has literally, I think, been they'll forfeited something in the range of $1.3 million in salaries. Yep. Had five suspensions. He's now had three fines. And as I mentioned, he's had face-to-face meetings with, you know, the person who runs this department on a couple occasions. And he still is putting himself in a position where we're having these discussions. I mean, I don't know how you could argue the Panarin thing wasn't dangerous.
Right. Did they determine that he didn't grab his hair? Because if he grabbed his hair, like, come on, that's an easy suspension. I'm sure you can drum up some sort of reason for that. But if they determined that he didn't grab his hair and all it was like kind of like a punch with his right glove that was just like a half punch, half shove that flipped Panarin over, I can kind of see where the NHL is coming from. But that was, I mean, I don't really want to get too into the minutia of the whole incident, but if it's a hair pulling incident, that's easy. But if they didn't determine that he pulled hair, then I think it's a little tougher.
Yeah, I don't think they did. Certainly not to the degree it was being discussed and going around on hockey Twitter. You know, I don't think that they felt that was 100%, you know, the action that brought Panarin to the ground there.
We're speaking to Chris Johnson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Siege, of course, our NHL insider here at Sportsnet. And we can circle back to the big news locally, Chris. The Canucks are moving. Well, they intend to move anyway. It's not official yet. Their American Hockey League franchise from Utica to Abbotsford. Now, this makes a lot of sense from two points for the Canucks. One, of course, is having the team in your backyard like this. The idea would be that they would resonate to folks out in the Fraser Valley where they'd get to see some of the Canucks prospects, et cetera, et cetera. The bigger one for me, anyways, from a hockey operations standpoint, where you no longer have to deal with the logistical nightmare of getting a player from the other side of the continent, also going from the United States to Canada and dealing with all the immigration issues there. Now, you're in the East Coast, and I know, how well has this worked out for Toronto and for Montreal? Because it seems like there's a real seamless transition, and it's easier to work with players when you've got your minor league affiliate right in your backyard, like the Habs and the Leafs do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I get that there's, you know, especially with the way the league's laid out, that there's more logistical issues to having the team in BC. But, you know, it even comes down to, look, the Canucks are, you know, a team that we know are probably going to be dancing a fine line with the salary cap moving forward. And, you know, it just even allows you to assign a player on an off day to the AHL and you know, lose his salary for a day.
Right.
You know, the kind of cap actions a team like Toronto especially does, but even Montreal this season, they've had to be in that similar spot because, you know, if you do have your AHL affiliate across the country, I mean, the league doesn't allow those sort of paper transactions without the player physically traveling. Again, we're speaking in non-COVID times, but mm-hmm. I think that there's even benefits that way. You know, that there's sort of the more obvious benefits that if you have skills coaches or, you know, other staff members that they can work with both your NHL and AHL players, you know, pretty easily without having to travel on the same day, you know, morning for one, afternoon for the other, that type of thing. And, you know, I think that even, you know, one thing that I've heard from players is you just feel a little less lost. Like, you know, sometimes guys go down to the AHL and obviously they're disappointed about it. And as much as Utica was a great AHL city and has been for a long time and has a good fan base and all that, you know, they might not feel that the eyes of the Canucks organization is on them as much if they're, you know, their performance. Sure. Whereas I do think that it's going to be, you know, they're not going to get lost to the same degree. I mean, even media can go and cover what's happening a little easier and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I think that it's pretty much a home run on every level. You know, maybe the only question is the cost and all that, but, you know, I think that the benefits far outweigh any of the negative aspects of this. And I do think it's going to allow the Canucks to manage their day-to-day roster even better than they have been with the previous arrangement.
Siege, you're the best, buddy. Thanks a lot for doing this. We appreciate it. Be well. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk again next week.
All right. I hope the wreckage is limited from here on out.
Oh, I wouldn't count on that, my friend.
It won't be.
Yeah.
It won't be.
Thanks,
yeah.
Buddy.
See you guys.
See ya. Chris Johnson, our NHL insider from Sportsnet here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We have a lot to get to on this program right now. We got a lot of Abbotsford questions. What do you... Are you waving your finger at me? What's going on here?
Not that finger. I would like you to wrap up so you actually have time to discuss.
Yeah, I was getting to it.
Just
but now I'm going to tell a story.
Nope.
And an onion on my belt. which was the style at the time. Mm-hmm. We got a lot to get to on this program. We'll dive into the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Get some of your thoughts. One, will the Canucks AHL affiliate work in Abbotsford? Two, what should the team be named? Three, Abbotsford people, weigh in. Let us know your thoughts. What is Tourism Abbotsford all about? If you're going to go to, say Jason and I are going to go for a day trip out to Abbotsford.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there before, but let's say I don't really know.
Love the Cactus Club there.
Maybe I don't know deep Abbotsford. Maybe I don't know the roots.
Right.
Maybe I don't know the history, the culture.
Mm-hmm.
For the culture.
Real Abbotsford.
What are you going to show us? The daytime trip, Halford and Brough out to Abbotsford. What do we need to see? What are we missing? What don't we know? Let us know. 650, 650. It's Halford. It's Brough. It's Sportsnet. 650. Sí, bueno. Cinco de Mayo.
Grab your beer and your tacos.
Señor Dame, muy guapo.
This is sad because the CFL isn't playing and they would have loved this.
What's the backstory there, please?
When CFL 2.0 was launched by Randy Ambrosi, one of their initial initiatives was moving into the fertile breeding ground of football players that is Mexico.
Oh, Mexico.
Mexico to the layman. So I said,
there's talk of a franchise in Puerto Vallarta.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
So we were joking around. So it was like, you know, we kind of joked around like this kind of feels like Randy Ambrosi's way to get vacations across the world. Maybe go to an all-inclusive in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
So then for some reason, one day there was bad news on the CFL front. And I said, bad news in the CFL front, or as they say in the Canadian Football League, no bueno. And then it just kind of rolled from there. Anyway.
Cinco de Mayo day, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned tacos, Cinco de Mayo. And then when we were talking about Tourism Abbotsford, like if you're here, put it this way, listeners. All of you in Abbotsford, or the ones that can at least hear our station anyway, you've got an American Hockey League franchise coming. You're probably going to have a mix of veteran NHLers at the end of their careers and aspiring NHLers at the beginning of their careers. Mm-hmm. You need to show them a good time.
And all the city folk coming out from Vancouver.
The city slickers.
To watch the Canucks prospects. You'll remember when it was the Abbotsford Heat, the biggest games of the year were when, who was it, the Chicago Wolves at the time?
Yes.
Would come to Abbotsford. I think Utica, was it Utica? Maybe. It doesn't matter. But the Canucks prospects would play the Abbotsford Heat. The building would be packed. I went out there once to watch it.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a fun trip. We went out there. Our hockey team went out there. We rented a bus, and
wow,
it was a bit of a boozy road trip.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Now Dom said, in keeping with the rich cultural history of Abbotsford, on Cinco de Mayo, the best taco you've ever had.
I wouldn't say ever.
Well, you
but
did.
But it's up there.
I'm putting words in your mouth now. Tell us what's it called?
It's called Good Taco.
In Abbotsford.
That'll be easy to
kind
remember.
Of, yeah.
It's right next to Bad Taco.
Yeah.
It's on the wrong side of the tracks.
I was trying to find the Cactus Club. I missed it by a few blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just stumbled upon this place called Good Taco. And me and my girlfriend were like, do you want to try? Like, looks fine.
Did it live up to its moniker?
Yeah.
Nice.
Really good.
So there you go. Good Taco. Someone else said you could take a walk around Mill Lake. A small lake, but still. Apparently, they've gussied it up real nice.
Well, that'll be good for you because you don't like walking.
Right. I don't want to walk around a large lake.
Chris and Abby text in to the Dunbar Lumber text line. I've lived in Abbotsford for over 30 years. I put a season ticket deposit down as soon as the announcement was made. Not a lot to do other than hike, mountain biking, and a surprisingly good food and craft brewery scene.
There you go. You can build on that.
Christian. Who I believe is Chris in Mission.
Yep.
Says there's a small burger shop called Burger Burger. No vowels in there. So it's B-R-G-R. Burger Burger. And Chris says it's an absolute must. If you guys are going to come waste time in Abbey.
Here's an interesting one.
Lou's Grill. Lou's Grill is getting a lot of shout outs. And of course you can go golf. Dwayne the Bucks fan texts in Brough. If you come out here to Abbotsford, I'll grab us a tea time at Ledgeview, the PGA Tour factory.
Yeah.
And Dwayne will also find a 2-4 of the cheapest beer that he can find. That's not a selling point as much, but
it's fine.
Fieldhouse Brewing is out there.
Yes, they do have some very, very good breweries in Abbotsford. Two-time caller Brian. Here's one that's off the charts a little bit. He says, I could show you where Sumas Lake was before it was drained. Not sure why I'd want to see that. Brian goes on to add, there is still a pump to this day that if it failed, would fill Sumas Lake within 48 hours and some 3,500 homes would be lost. Brian, I don't think you're understanding the idea of a draw. I don't know if your tragic tale of death and destruction is exactly what we're looking for from Abbotsford's tourism department.
Sounds like an insurance ploy.
Would you guys like to see where thousands of lives would be ruined?
Yeah. Come to Abbotsford and live on the edge.
That's right.
Literally the edge.
Someone just texted in, Abbotsford is Little Mexico. Yes, I've heard that. Well, what with its one taco shop.
Mike in Aldergrove texts in, my dentist is in Abbotsford, so there's that.
Again,
see Mike in Aldergrove's dentist.
Who goes out to Abbotsford for dental work?
People who live in Aldergrove. You don't trust the dentist there.
That's right.
Is that a chainsaw?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
My dentist is in an empty parking lot.
Oh, it's one of those.
I remember reading about someone that was running like a
non-licensed
practitioner. Yeah. And then I guess...
Hey, if he does good work.
And you need, if you need to get your teeth and your pet's teeth cleaned at the same time, go to our unlicensed dentist. Okay, we got a lot more to get to on this program. We need to focus. This is good, though. This is good. A lot of people weighing in with a lot of good ideas because this is big news, not just for Abbotsford. I feel like our goal here should be not to make this about Vancouver having the big NHL franchise and then the Fraser Valley having the smaller AHL.
Little
franchise.
Old Abbotsford, not that.
I'm not patting it on the head and telling it did a good job getting an AHL team. We're going to expand the scope. This is the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. And some people in the Fraser Valley can actually hear this station. Many can't. So we're going to do this cross Lower Mainland and Fraser Valley connectivity. That's what we're about today on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. It's the House of Positivity. 7 o'clock hour, we're going to have Jeff Patterson join us. He'll be at 7:30. 8 o'clock, Greg Wyshynski. Greg has a really, really good piece up on ESPN right now about who's to blame for the Tom Wilson situation. So he puts the NHLPA in the crosshairs. He puts the Department of Player Safety in the crosshairs. And, of course, Tom Wilson himself. Some really interesting anecdotes about Tom Wilson in this piece.
Greg was taking a lot of heat on Twitter because originally he tweeted out, he was kind of, I think he was getting a little frustrated with the exaggerations that people were describing to describe what Tom Wilson did. Like people were comparing it to the Bertuzzi incident. And Greg was like, are you kidding me?
Did you see what Keith Olbermann called Greg Wyshynski very publicly on Twitter?
No.
I can't say it on the air.
Really?
That's how bad it was.
Well, because Keith Olbermann, as soon as that happened, said that Tom Wilson was, I think he called Tom Wilson a psychopath or something along those lines.
The hashtag said, arrest Tom Wilson.
Yeah, he said, get him out of the game, et cetera, et cetera. But now I want to see, does Greg have a feud with Keith Olbermann now?
If he didn't, he does now. Go check it out. And you go check it out as well. We'll explain on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650.